I do appreciate all the prayers and feeling a good bit better. I'm thankful for that. Brother Terry texted me today, was checking on me, said, how's that back? And I said, well, the back's doing some better. Got an issue going on in my calf and around my ankle. He said, oh, that's just old age. Real help in the faith. I tell you what, that's a good brother. Amen. Amen. I don't know nothing about old age. He might, I don't. Amen. I got tickled tonight. Brother Jim come up to me. He's going to give me a big old Jim hug. And I happened to look down. He had a big old glob of chili right on the front of him. I said before he grabbed me, I said, Brother Jim, you got chili all over. He said, I was trying to give it to you. You can't get one on Brother Jim, I tell you what. I love this Merville bunch. Amen. What a blessing. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how we get our faith built up, is by the Word of God. And I appreciate all of you being here tonight to set up under the Word of God. Every time you set up under the Word of God or read the Word of God, your faith is being built. You may not recognize it, but it is being strengthened and built. That's why it's so important to make it to every service that you can, to have that faith exercised and that it might grow. The Lord will try our faith. I promise you that. I need to get a witness right there. He will try your faith, and your faith needs to be strengthened, especially in these days in which we live. And that's how we live, is by faith. We can't live by feelings. We can't live by how we look at things. We have to live by the faith of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look with me in, we got into the life of Abraham in verse number 8 of Hebrews 11. And we saw how that when, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place that he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. So Abraham listened by faith. He was that sensitive to the voice of God. And when God spoke, he was full of faith and he listened by faith. And that's how we need to really be in tune with the Lord, is not just in reading the Word of God, but listening to the voice of God when it does speak to us. And thank God he still speaks today. He'll speak through the Word of God. He'll speak to you in your personal, private devotions. He'll speak to you in prayer. I've been riding down the road and had him speak to me and just say something to me, show me something from the Word of God, or just speak to me about a particular situation he's wanting to talk about. But I'm glad the Lord still wants to talk to his people. You don't hear that word audibly. You don't hear that voice audibly, but you do hear it in the Spirit. That's on the inside of you. So Abraham listened by faith, verse number 9. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. His children lived by the same promise that Abraham did. Abraham listened by faith, but he also lived by faith. He lived by faith in the home. And those children were affected by the faith of their daddy. And then notice verse number 10. Not only did he listen and did he live by faith, but he looked by faith. It said, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And one thing that we need to always remember when we're studying these Old Testament heroes of faith is they were people just like you and I. They had the same problems that we have. There's nothing changed. They have the same issues of life that we encounter. Maybe ours is a little bit what we might call more modern, but they still had the same issues of life that we all have. They had family problems. They had personal problems. They had country problems. They had government problems. They faced everything that every one of us face, but they lived by faith. And Abraham lived so by faith that he was looking at what what God could give him and not what this world could give him. He looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And that's what we need to look for. We need to look for what God can give us and not what this world can offer us. This world, it's got a lot of glit and glamour. But when it's over, it's over. That glit and glamour grow dull very quick. But God's promises and God's provisions will always endure. Now notice he gets into the wife of Abraham, Sarah, in verse number 11. And he said, by faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed when she was delivered of a child, when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now we read something like that, and if you don't know the context, if you don't know the actual story out of the Old Testament of what went on, you don't really get the full import of what he's telling us in verse number 11. Let's read it again, but then we want to go back into Genesis and look at the life of Sarah and just exactly what she went through. It said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now we read that and we, in our minds, we're thinking, well, Sarah was just such a great woman of faith. She just excelled and exceeded in faith. But I want you to come back to Genesis chapter 18, and I want you to look at the actual Bible commentary of what Sarah went through before she did get to that faith that she could believe in the Lord. Look in Genesis chapter 18, and in the context of Genesis 18, it's when the Lord and two angels have come to Abraham, or at this time he still, is he Abraham or Abram here? It doesn't matter. Abraham. In Genesis 18, the Lord and two angels have come to Abraham. He's sitting in the tent door, and he sees these three men coming in Genesis 18. And when they get there, one of them's the Lord, two of them are angels, which are going to eventually go into the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord has come by to talk to Abraham about some things. And notice verse number 1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. So he invites these three men in. Like I say, one of them is the Lord. Two of them are angels. Now notice what happens. In verse number 9, he asks, Abraham asked Sarah to go get a kid ready and let's have a feast for these three men. In verse number 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door. Now she was eavesdropping. I don't know women or why women are like that. But she was in the tent door and she didn't really just show herself, but she was wanting to know what the Lord was talking to Abraham about. And it said, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she was postmenopausal. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old? Now, Hebrews 11 says she judged him faithful. That made the promise. But look at her. She's actually laughing at what God is saying is going to happen in her life. Have you ever laughed at the Lord, laughed at the promises of God, laughed at maybe something that God has said that he can do? Well, Sarah is doing that. She's laughing. And then it says, verse number 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid But he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. You see, the Lord knows our hearts. But what God did, God introduced this thought of that in their old age they were going to have a child. Well, it was just so preposterous that Sarah just could not eat. You'll find out if you study it close enough that even Abraham laughed at the Lord. We may get to that in a little bit. Even Abraham laughed at the Lord when he found out that they were going to have a child in their old age. But now Sarah is in the tent and the Lord hears her laugh in her heart. The Lord can hear us even in our thoughts of our hearts. It doesn't have to be audible. He can hear what's going on inside your heart right now. Well, he heard her laugh in her heart and he said, well, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did laugh. But back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11 said, she judged him faithful who had promised. She received strength. How? By faith. What God did was, even though at the very beginning of her faith, at the beginning of this promise from the Lord that they were going to have a child, even though she laughed, God worked in her life. And when he questioned her about her laughing at the promise of God, I imagine some old time conviction came across that holy woman of old. And it produced in her faith that could believe. You know, sometimes the Lord will insult our minds to show what's really in our hearts. He don't mind insulting our thoughts to prove what's in our hearts. And what God is always after, He's always after to produce more of God in our lives. He's always working. Doesn't He have to work on us, every one of us, day by day? He has to do something in every one of our hearts. We're not just always super saints. We're not. Matter of fact, I'm never a super saint. I'm never just on the top of this thing. I'm like Paul. I've not attained or anything like that. And God is always having to work to try to produce more faith in us to where we can believe and receive the promises by faith. And that's what he was doing in Sarah's life. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, talking about Isaac, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now, I want you to notice there in that verse number 12 that God promises Abraham two seeds. He promises him a seed that is as innumerable as the sand of the sea. And he promises him the seed that is as many as the stars of heaven. Two different lines of seeds. And I want you to watch this with me. Look with me in Genesis chapter. Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 17 and look at this. This is a tremendous truth that we all need to be aware of. We know that Abraham is the father of the Jews. We know that. But his faith was before law. His faith, he was the father of faith, and he's even the father of our faith. We're blessed today because of Abraham. And I want you to just watch the Word of God bear this out. Look in Genesis chapter 17 with me tonight. In Genesis chapter 17, notice this was, we're one chapter earlier than we were last time in chapter 18. And here he's Abram. He's just plain old Abram. This is before God had really worked in Abraham's life and he became Abraham. Now notice, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, he's 99, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now that word perfect does not, it never means in the context of referring to us, be thou perfect. It never means sinless perfection, but it means maturity, mature perfection. He said, and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, which means a father of many, but thy name shall be Abraham, which means a father of multitudes. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant." That covenant is still in effect today between God and Abraham and his seed. "To be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land..." By the way, that land of Palestine belongs to the Jews by order of God. It doesn't matter what the nations say about it. God says that land over there in Israel belongs to the Jews. And we better support the Jews in that. Amen? "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And now notice with me Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. I want you to watch this one. This is a tremendous truth. Genesis chapter 13, verse number 15. Let's begin in verse 14. "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth." There's the physical seed. "So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." And Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Notice the first seed that God promises Abram. He promises it to him. And he said it's going to be like the dust of the earth. That is the seed that God promised Abraham, the physical seed, the earthly seed. But now notice this. He didn't stop there. Come to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, verse number 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir," talking about Eleazar, "but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." Now notice, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness." Notice the first promise of seed. He said it's going to be like the dust of the earth. That's the physical Jewish seed that God promised Abraham. But now he says, let's go further than that, Abraham. Look up. Look up in the heavens. See those stars? If you can number those stars, that's how your seed is going to be multiplied. And God not just promised him a physical seed, but he promised him a heavenly seed, a spiritual seed, which is you and I through Jesus Christ. Look with me in Romans chapter 4 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 bears this out beautifully. Romans chapter 4. We're blessed through the faith of Abraham. You know what God did with Abraham when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees and brought him into the land and made him the first Jew? He was setting Abraham and all of Israel up for one reason, and that was to bring in Jesus Christ through a protected covenant seed. And notice in Romans chapter 4, let me get there, Romans chapter 4, he said, verse number 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? And for if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. We just read that in Genesis 15. But now notice this. Come with me to verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, that physical seed, but that which is also of the faith of Abraham. Now watch it. Who is the father of us all, of us New Testament believers. So his seed was twofold. It was a physical seed, the line, the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, on through all of that earthly lineage. But it was also a physical seed, beginning in whenever Jesus Christ was born and Jesus Christ began having spiritual children. Where it? And Father Abraham is his heavenly seed, or you and I as the stars of heaven. So now come to verse number 13 of our text, Hebrews chapter 11. So we can honestly say that we are blessed through Abraham. Notice that verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all, talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, these all died in faith. Watch this. Having not received the promises, plural. They received the promise of the land grant and the promise of an earthly and heavenly seed, but they never dwelt in the land of promise. They never lived there. So they did not receive all the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I love this verse of scripture. There's so much there that we can learn about faith. When faith is first presented to us, when the Word of God is first presented to us, here's what we do. We see that promise afar off. God promises us something and it's not actually ours as of yet. But we see that promise and we see it afar off. But then what we're persuaded of that promise. We know that God is not a liar. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it, or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? God's promises are true to every one of us, not just preachers, not just every child of God gets in on every promise. And when we see that promise, we first see it afar off, but then we are persuaded of it. Notice the next thing they do. They embraced it. They embraced that promise. That word embrace means to wrap your arms around it till you become one with that promise. And that's living by faith. I so believe in that promise, I'm going to hold on to that promise. I'm going to claim it. Me and that promise are one, because my God that cannot lie promised me this, gave me this promise. And you're persuaded of them, you embrace them. And once you embrace that promise, you'll be able to boldly say that God gave me that promise. And I'm just a pilgrim on this earth. We're just a passing through. This world is not our home. We have a home in heaven that we're all going to go to one day. And we just embrace that and confess it by the faith of God. Amen. Have any of us made it to heaven yet? No. But we're going. I promise you that we're going. And brethren, if we didn't have those kind of promises in the Word of God, we would be of all men most miserable. We would, if only in this life we have hope, we are all men most miserable. But our hope goes way beyond here. It goes into the heavens. Amen. Now notice verse 14. And they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. I'm a seeking that country. I'm a longing to go to that country. I hath not seen, ears not heard, neither's entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. I can't wait to see y'all walking on streets of gold. Y'all sitting on old wooden pews now with a little bit of padding. Wait till I see you walking on streets of gold. I bet some of y'all going to shout for your first time in your life. And I'm going to say, goose them, God. Goose them good. Let them enjoy it. Amen. Amen. When we were down at home with Mom, one of my cousins, second cousin, came by. And at first when he came in the house, I was sitting in Mom's den. And I was hurting pretty bad that day. And I looked at him. I really didn't recognize him. Tall old boy. His name Bruce Mobley. And Bruce came by to see Mom. And he brought her a cabbage out of his garden. Brought her some other things. Some oranges and all. And Mama told me. She said, every once in a while, just out of the clear blue, there he is on my back porch. And just bring me a little something. And then I recognized Bruce. And I got up and I walked over there to him. And he said, well, John, you looking good. He said, I heard you've been sick lately. He said, how's your health? I said, well, Bruce, heaven holds a healing for me. That's what I'm looking forward to. Amen. I may never get it down here, but I'm going to get it over yonder. I'm going to be whole and complete over there. Amen. My old age ain't going to bother me over there. Glory to God. Amen. I'd pick on old Mike Bennett. Y'all ever heard Mike Bennett's knees? He's got the crack in his knees of any white person I've ever heard in my life. Every time he comes to the altar, you hear him crack going down and crack coming. He sounds like a bowl full of Cheerios. He does. Notice next time you get around him. And listen, every time he bows a knee, he needs a knee replacement now. Amen. But heaven holds a healing for every one of us. There ain't going to be no crack, snap, crackling, popping over there. There's just going to be glory, glory, glory. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Hallelujah. Notice, for they that say such things, what? We're looking for a country. We're just pilgrims, strangers down here. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Notice verse number 15. And truly, if they had been... Notice verse 14, though. Verse 14. I do want to tell you this, in verse 14 is found, no compromise. We seek in a better place. No compromise. Verse number 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. There's no contemplation of going back to the world. You need to burn every bridge that we have. No going back. I've come too far to go back. I'm too far. I'm too close. You know, people talk about what they've got the most of. Young people, old Satterfield's here, young folk, they talk about the future. Why? Because they got more of the future in front of them. Old folk talk about the past because we got more of the past behind us. And then was some good old days, wasn't it? But the best is yet to come. Amen. It was good the day I got saved. And it's gotten gooder since I've been saved. And the best is yet to come for every one of us. And I promise you this. When we get to heaven, we ain't going to be talking about hunting and fishing and basketball and football. We're going to be talking about Jesus and how wonderful He is. Amen. And truly, if they've been mindful of that country, no contemplation of going back. Burn all the bridges. Verse number 16, but now they desire a better country, no comparison, no compromise, no contemplation, no comparison, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God, Lord have mercy, God is not ashamed to be called their God. You ought to underscore, you ought to underline that in your Bible. God ain't ashamed of you. Hallelujah. All through the Old Testament, He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now you know what He's saying? I'm the God of Jim Burnett. I'm the God of Doel Self. I'm the God of Aaron. Lord, He's not ashamed of us. Well, look over here in Isaiah 41. This is just worth going to. Isaiah 41. Look over here. You ought to underline this I'm about to show you too. These are some wonderful verses. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not. This is God speaking to you. I read a commentator one time, and he said there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. One for every day of the year. Fear not. Get up today. Fear not. Get up tomorrow. Fear not. 365 of them. Fear thou not. This is God talking to you now. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Lord, we ought to take a few laps on that one. I am thy God. He's not ashamed to be called your God. Amen. Now notice in verse number 16, they desire a better country than heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, we look not at the things which are seen, the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Everything that we see down here is temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. There's a world we've never gotten a glimpse of yet. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God's got a lot more in store for us than we've ever even thought of down here. Hallelujah. Brother Greg, no more heart trouble. No more worrying about it. No more pains. No more worrying, thinking, is this it? No more of that over there. No more separation. Lord, every time I leave Mama down there by herself, it breaks my heart to have to ride out of that woman's yard knowing she's right by herself. But God's got a place. He's got a holding place for all of us. When we get there, there's not going to be any more separation over there. We'll all be there. No more aches, Janie. No more head colds. No more pains. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but heaven's going to be worth it. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. That's a tremendous verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried. I want you to look at this with me. Come to Genesis 22. There's no way that I'm going to be able to go into Genesis 22 tonight, but this is his reference of what he's referencing in verse 17 of Abraham's life. This is where Abraham is told to take Isaac unto a mountain that God's going to show him of. And I want to just point out some things to you. A lot of people have gotten so rattled by verse number 1 of chapter 22, but they don't understand the language of it. They don't compare Scripture with Scripture and let the Bible define itself. It said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And they run to James. They say, well, the Bible says that God tempts no man. God never has tempted any man to do evil or to do wrong, but to teach us and tempt us to live by faith. And that's what it's a trial. When he was tried, Hebrews 11 says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. I can just hear Abraham. Yes, sir, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready. And he said, take now thine son, thine only son Isaac. This is the promised seed. This is the seed that you and I were going to come through. Through Isaac, thine only son Isaac. Now watch it. Whom thou lovest. Did you know that that is the very first time in all of the Word of God that the word love appears? And it's the love that a father has for his son. You know what that's a picture of? The Heavenly Father loving His Son. And notice what it says. Take now thine only Son, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto a land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. There is so much typology in all of this. Brother Derek was preaching the other night, and he talked about his professor warned him of not using typology. And I called Brother Derek after that, and he won't mind me telling this. I said, Brother Derek, I said, don't you listen to that professor. I said, that professor ain't got a, he don't know what he's talking about. I said, some of the greatest teaching out of the Word of God is on typology and types. And this is all that, this is a type of Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary. This is a type of Jesus Christ being offered on Calvary. Look at verse number 6. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. It was a picture of Jesus Christ carrying the cross. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. God the Father and God the Son were in agreement at Calvary. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? One of the greatest texts in all the Word of God. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself. God will provide Himself. You know who that was hanging on the cross of Calvary? It was God providing Himself on the cross of Calvary. God will provide Himself a lamb, Jesus Christ, for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. That was a covenant made between God the Father, God the Son, before Genesis 1:1 ever came into existence. God the Father, God... Let me illustrate this. Come here, Brother Rick. You're going to make a good Jesus right here. Come here, Brother Stacy. You make a good God the Father. Now, see, come here, Aaron. You make the Holy Ghost. He's strong. He's strong. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Before Genesis 1:1, the three of them got together in a council. They said, we're gonna create heaven and the earth and put man on it. But man's going to fall. Man's going to disobey us, and we need to make a contract. We need to make a covenant together of what we're going to do. And one of us are going to need to go die for it. Jesus spoke up. He said, I'll go, Father. The Holy Ghost said, I agree to that. And the three of them grabbed their arms together, grabbed hands together in a covenant before Genesis 1:1. And Jesus Christ said, Father, I'll go be that lamb. Y'all stay right there. Y'all are doing good. This is the Trinity. They're in covenant together. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And was the earth without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And God moved upon the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the Trinity began creating everything that we see. God reached down and made man upon the dust of, out of the dust of the ground. Put him there, made woman a helpmeet for him. And man disobeyed God and went from him. And Jesus Christ came into this world in the fullness of time. And he said, Father, I'll go. And I'll be the Lamb. And whosoever shall come to me shall be saved. I am the door. And if any man come to me, I'll open to him. And he shall come in. And he shall be... Amen. Saved forever by the Trinity. Holy Ghost has got me. The Father's got me. The Son's got me. And we're one together for all of eternity. Brethren, we're all in this thing. We're all in this covenant. It was a covenant between these three right here. And they just let us get in on it. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. I'm glad to be saved tonight. Amen. Let go of me now. I don't want to be in that Trinity. Amen. One of them has to carry a pistol on his side. Amen. Amen. But here's what I want to show you. By faith, when Abraham was tried, God's going to try your faith. There's some teaching today that if you get saved, give your life to Christ, it'll be a bed of roses. It'll be just, you'll just, it's all going to be mountaintop, shouting all the time. Never have trouble. That's a lie. That's a lie. God never has promised us any of that kind of stuff until heaven. But God has promised He will try your faith. And here's why He's going to try it. Not so you can see what you can do, but so you can see what God can do in and through your life. Abraham had no idea what God was up to that day. But God tried his faith and said, take that only boy. And you know what Abraham knew? Well, that's the promised seed. And God has promised that seed is going to come through that boy. So if I just mind God, God is going to take care of the rest. And while Abraham was going up one side of the mountain by faith, God was sending a ram up the other side. And when they got to the top, there was the provision made. And Abraham had that knife drawn back. That faith was being tried. And Abraham had that knife drawn back, fixing to slay that boy. And all of us, I bet Abraham was glad he could hear the voice of God. I bet you that day Abraham said, thank God I've been listening to Him. Thank God I trained myself to listen to the voice of God. He had that knife up, and out of heaven it said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, slay not thy son. He looked behind him. There was that old ram caught in a thicket, thorns. Had that thorn around his head. The curse. Lord, it's all through there, boy. It's all typology. That's why I got on the deck about that. Tech. I said, don't you listen to that stupid professor. Amen. Them professors will mess you up. Amen. They get to teaching, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't even believe the book anyway. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to get in all that. God's going to try your faith. Look at James about it. And we'll close right here. Make it 1 Peter. Let's go there. 1 Peter, that's what I was looking for. Why is God going to try our faith? Notice 1 Peter chapter 4. Forasmuch then, verse number 1, then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now notice these next few words. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. You ever had something happen to you, and you just start shouting, well, glory to God, I'm glad I'm hurting. Well, glory to God, I'm glad I've got a headache today. I'm glad my body's racked with pain. Hallelujah, glory to God. I'm glad I ain't got a penny to pay my bills with. Glory to God, hallelujah. That ain't how we react to this thing, is it? He said, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On the parties even spoken of, but on your parties glorified. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again in closing. Years ago, our youngest son, Matt, was diagnosed with cancer. And we were told to take him to Nemours Clinic in Jacksonville, and we did. And we got down there, and most of y'all have already heard this story, but it bears repeating it to wind up right here. I'll be honest with you, at that time in my life when we were first told, I just started the church. We were just getting going good. People were getting saved. The church began to grow, and then all of a sudden there was my boy diagnosed with cancer. And to be honest with you, through all of that time, I felt so far from God. I wondered, have you ever asked yourself or asked God this, why? That's not wrong. I sat up under preachers that told me to never question God, to never ask God why. But I was reading through the Gospels one day, and Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, and He said, my God, why? And God said, it's okay to ask me why. I can tell you. There ain't no need in walking in the darkness with it. Talk to Him about it. And I wondered, God, why? Lord, why have I got to go through this? Why has my boy got to go through this? When we were first told, honestly, it was like my world went into a spinning wheel. Nothing was making sense. I didn't feel like God was even near me or was it even aware of what was going on. And I walked in Nemours Cancer Clinic that day to register my boy to go into that cancer clinic and begin whatever we were about to face. And I walked up that counter, and that woman said, she said, what you here for? And I told her, handed her my little insurance card I had, worth a whole lot of nothing, but handed it to her. And she handed me a clipboard, and she said, go fill this out. Went and filled that best I could. I filled all them questions out. I went back up there, had a pair of jeans, old pullover shirt on. Walked up there to that counter, and I handed her that clipboard back. And she looked across that desk at me, because there was a black woman sitting there, a black lady working that desk. She said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yeah, how'd you know? She said, your light's shining. I didn't even know He was anywhere around. I didn't even know He even knew what I was going through. I didn't feel like He was there. But He was more there, brother. And when you're at your lowest time, I promise you this, He is on your life. He is on you. When you feel like He's the furthest from you, He's right there on your life, getting glory out of what you're going through, because He's trying your faith. Aren't you glad we're living by faith now? Live by faith now. When we get there, many rewards await you. Amen. Amen. For prayer requests tonight, this month we're praying for Brother Scott Tanner, Hog Mountain Baptist Church. Let's really lift Brother Scott up this month. We need to pray.